Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's podcast is a Q&A. It's podcast number 729. The subject is Q&A. The title is, how much of each macronutrient is too much? So this topic, in a way, was suggested by a listener. So thank you to the listener for reaching out. And I'm going to read through a little bit of like what they had wrote. And this kind of gives context to everything we're going to discuss. And what they wrote was basically that their question was in regards to meal timing, but a step beyond that. And it said, I know you hit on the topic of meal timing recently in a nutrition podcast, but I'm looking to get more specific details. I've experimented with complex carbs and simple carbs. This past Saturday morning, I ate 2 servings of oatmeal about an hour and a half pre-workout. I then ate and drank some simple carbs about 30 minutes pre-workout. I will say my energy levels felt amazing. So my question is the complex carbs in the simple carb mixture overkill? Is it too much? So we did do a podcast recently discussing macronutrients. And let me kind of get to our overall list here, and I can kind of tell you which ones that was. So it was podcast number 726, just the most recent nutrition one. We did macronutrient quality effects, and we've talked about like the effects of different ones. So if you have complex carbs versus simple carbs, saturated fats versus unsaturated fats, and we've also talked just about the concept of meal timing and which foods are best to have in regards to what the timing is based on when you want to be active. So we know that as we get closer to a workout, we want foods that digest quickly, so that way the nutrients are actually available to us when we actually work out. So if I eat, you know, something that's really fatty 30 minutes before my workout, I'm not going to have enough time to break that down and actually be able to use the calories from that. So we discussed how in the window frames, the time frames that they gave us in the question there, was an hour and a half, about 90 minutes before the workout, complex carbohydrates are the best. If you were to have simple carbohydrates, which are sugars, just like, say, Gatorade or a pre-workout that had a lot of sugar in it, if you did that 90 minutes before the workout, your body would actually burn through that, and it would actually be mostly gone by the time the workout came. So dietary sugars, like Gatorade, for example, that starts digesting through your cheeks, the lining of your cheeks, the second you start drinking it. Within 5-10 minutes, you can have an energy boost from it. So after 90 minutes, it's already gone. Whereas a meal such as oats, like if the person had oatmeal, that's a slower digesting carbohydrate, but it does start to digest and become usable within 90 minutes. So that was appropriate that they had that. That was a great choice, an hour and a half out from the workout to have oats. Awesome. Then, as they got closer to the workout, they could add in even more fuel for their workout. And they could add in those simple carbohydrates, whether that's, you know, Gatorade, whether it's fruit, anything sugar-based that will digest quickly. They can have that then, and they'll have a great amount of energy. So really the question they're asking is I wonder if I had too many carbohydrates. So I had a great workout, I had great energy, but did I have too much? Meaning maybe I ate so much that I would have gained body fat from that rather than just got the energy that I wanted. This is a great question, but it also is a very simple answer in the sense that it goes back to something we've discussed many times over, is we have to know how many calories we're supposed to have in a day. Now, our body processes calories every second of the day. Every single second, it's always doing something, whether it's building muscle, burning calories, doing this, doing that. Just every second of the day, our body needs calories, and every second of the day, our body is processing calories. The hard part is we can't really track our nutrition by the second. If I try to count my calories based on every second, okay, how many calories do I need this second, how many calories do I need that second, I can't even ask the question before it's the next second, let alone get an answer and take in a food. So the concept of tracking daily calories, like tracking calories in a daily format, is a good idea in the sense that it gives us a marker of time that's measurable, that we can become consistent within our behaviors and get an effect. Could we measure calories by every 12 hours? Yes. Could you measure calories by every 4 hours? Yes. The shorter the time frame, the more attention you have to give, the more purposeful you have to be to what you do and don't eat and this and that. So the marker of a daytime, there's nothing special about it. It's just we have to measure some unit of time so that way we can be consistent. And we have to measure it in a time frame that feels appropriate for us in regards to what we can influence. It makes sense that every day I go to bed and I wake up, so every day I should kind of monitor my calories. Our calories should be based on our activity level. So if every day I have a predictable low level of activity, aka sleeping, it gives me kind of like a known thing that I'll always come back to. So tracking food in 24 hours makes total sense. Now, how do I know if I have too many carbohydrates? Well, that's within the time frame of knowing what our overall calories are and knowing what our overall protein should be. Now, this is important. We talk about this all the time, and I've talked about it in podcast number 41 titled Diet Right, What Matters Most. I mentioned that podcast more than any other podcast. It's actually been listened to more than any other podcast, so thankfully people are listening to the recommendation. But it discusses for us what are the most impactful, important components. Calories, overall calories, is most impactful. Now, this is impactful for weight loss, for performance, for mass building, for any nutrition-related goal. Anything that our nutrition is going to impact, influence, the calories is most important. The second most important is how much protein you have. That automatically balances our macronutrients. So people often ask me, okay, well, if I have, you know, a diet of 20% protein, I now have 80% left, should I have 40% carbs and 40% fat? Or should I have, you know, 30 and 50? Should I have 20 and 60? None of that matters. It does not matter what your percentage breakdown is between fats and carbs in the sense that it should be predictated. It actually should be reactionary to your day. If you're up and active and moving around a lot, carbs are a better choice. If you're sitting on your butt doing nothing, mostly fats is a better choice. Do you have to do all or nothing? Hell no. Most people feel like absolute crap if they have too high of fats compared to their proteins and carbs, or too high of carbs compared to their proteins and fats. So really, how much we have depends on an individual difference. It depends on an activity level difference. There is absolutely no perfect percentage of the three macronutrients that is best for fat loss. There's absolutely no percentage of, you know, breakdown that is best for sport performance or muscle building or any of those things. It has an enormous personal variation. So you do not need to eat by any specific percentage of carbohydrates or any specific percentage of fats in no way whatsoever to reach your goals. There is no reason why it would need to be specific. We do need to know how much carbs and fats can contribute to our overall calorie intake. We need to know that. We need to know what our total calories are. We need to know how much protein we have every day. That then lets us know, of that remaining amount, how much would allow it to be carbs and fats. So if I have, making the numbers easy for us all to understand here, if I have a daily allowance of calories of 2,000 calories, my protein content of the 2,000 calories needs to be 100 grams. Protein is 4 calories per gram, so I have 400 calories just in protein. That means I have a remaining 1,600 calories that can come from carbs and fats. It doesn't matter how much of that 1,600 comes from carbs how much of that 1600 comes from fats. It doesn't matter at all. You want to base it based on your activity level, base it based on your own personal preferences. But it doesn't matter. You can do it however you want. So the question of did what they have, was that too many carbs? Well, I don't know. So I don't know what your daily caloric allowance is. And I don't know what your daily required or suggested recommended protein content is. Can you know? Yes. Can I know if I ask questions and want to know more about this person and then find out for them? Hell yeah, that's what I do. That's what people pay me for. But just off the top of my head, I have absolutely no clue. I don't know how active the person is. I don't know how much they weigh. I don't know anything about them. So therefore, I cannot say whether having oatmeal and a simple carbohydrate before their workout was too much. It actually could have even been not enough. If you figure out their total calorie count, how much protein of those calories needs to be accounted for, the remaining amount of calories, and you find out that their allowance for carbs within those meals could have been, I'm just making up numbers, say 400 calories. It's possible that they had oatmeal and simple carbohydrates that may have only added up to 300 calories. And they actually underate before in those meals. So we don't know. There's no way we can know. But can each of you know for yourselves? Hell yes. Can a nutritionist such as myself figure it out for you and tell you? Hell yes. But can you randomly say that having oatmeal an hour and a half before the workout and then having simple carbohydrates before the workout, can we say that that was too much? No, hell no. We have no freaking clue. So anybody that tells you that you shouldn't have this and this before a workout, but they don't know anything about you, bullshit. If they don't ask questions. So you'll hear people say, like, oh, you know, this person, da-da-da-da-da, or let's give an example. If some of you say, like, this drink, if you have this drink before your workout, it's going to provide you with all the energy that you need, and you're going to reach all of your goals. Bullshit. They don't know anything about you. Unless they know how many calories you need, they know your body weight, your activity level. They don't know anything. There's no way. That drink could be too many. That drink could be not enough. I used to work at a, when I was much younger, in undergrad in college, I worked at this gym, and I trained people, but I also had to do, like, front desk work. And I remember these old ladies would come in, and they'd walk on the treadmill at some meandering bullshit pace for, like, 30, 40 minutes, just yapping at each other. They're turned half sideways, just talking nonsense on the treadmills. And no sweat, no give a shit of energy whatsoever. And then they would come over and buy a protein shake, a 400-calorie protein shake. And I, like, in my soul, I felt pain for having to sell them that shake because they did not come in and burn 400 calories. I don't even think they burned 100. It was slower walking than you would do in a mall. And their mouths were moving more than their feet. But they had, quote-unquote, did their cardio. They worked out. And then they knew that, I should have protein after a workout, so I'm going to get a protein drink. So insanely stupid. It was fantastic for the gym owner because he didn't give a shit and he just wanted the money. But it's ridiculous. What they did didn't even cause muscle damage, so therefore the protein wouldn't even been necessary. They didn't burn as many calories as the calories that were in the shake. So they were actually paying the gym to get fatter. They were paying a membership, also paying for the protein drinks. So they were paying twice. They were paying for two things that both made themselves fatter. Oh my good God, that was so painful to watch. Could I have said something? Sure. Would I have gotten fired? Oh hell yes. So nowadays I probably would have said something because I don't care anymore. But at that age, I didn't want to get fired. I needed the money. So I kind of just shut my mouth. And I did skimp them out on the amount of protein shake. I didn't quite fill it up as much as I should have. That was a very poor choice of a way to try to help when I should have just talked to them. But that's what an example of, if we don't know, then what we're doing is making a mistake. They're coming to the gym, they're being active, then they're having a protein drink afterwards. Sounds like a fantastic idea. Sounds like what they should do. But when you look at the details of it, what was the exercise type? How intense was it? What's in the shake? How many calories? Once we look at the details, we find out it was absolutely stupid. So it sounds good, but it's stupid. What then, if we ask the question of, is this too many carbs? We don't know. Unless we know the details, we don't know the answer. Does it sound good to have carbohydrates before your workout? Hell yes, that's a great concept when applied correctly. Does it sound good to space your carb intake out with type depending on the time, meaning complex carbs an hour and a half beforehand, simple carbohydrates right before? Hell yes, that makes total sense in concept. But what about the details? We need to know. We need to know how many calories we're supposed to have in a day. That then tells us how many calories we can have per meal. We need to know how much protein we should have in a day. That then tells us how much protein we should have per meal. It gets even more complicated than that, but that's at least a good place to start. So if you do not know how many calories you're supposed to have in a day, if you don't know how much protein you're supposed to have in a day, you need to know those things first. Then you would say to yourself, okay, I don't need as much protein before I work out because there's no muscle damage yet. I need the daily majority of my protein in the probably 2 to 3 meals after the workout. Those should have like a higher intake of protein than the meals before the workout. So your chart, your daily intake chart of protein should look like a bell curve where at the peak of the curve is the post-workout meal. Whereas your carbohydrates and fats, the peak of their curve should be before the workout. You should have the majority of your calories before and immediately after the workout. And then the rest of the day tapers off from there. So that's how we know. We would first find out how many calories I should have, how much protein I should have. We then divide that out by meal. We look at the timing of their workout, skew the curves of carbohydrates and fats to peak at the workout. So the peak of the workout should be actually kind of split between the pre and post workout meals. Whereas the peak of the protein should actually come at the meal after the workout and at the second meal after the workout. So the curvature peak of protein is actually slightly behind the curvature peak of carbs and fats. That's the best way to space this stuff out. So for that listener, do you know how many calories you should have in a day? It's podcast number 153, if you haven't listened to it. That is titled, How Many Calories Do I Need? And it'll answer that question. Do you then know how much protein you should have in a day? That's podcast number 33, titled, How Much Protein Do I Need? And it answers that question. Then, you want to find out per meal breakdown and skew the curvatures around the workouts like we had already mentioned. If you don't know these numbers, there's no way for you to know if what you're doing is right or wrong. It can be a good sounding concept, but it doesn't mean you're doing it well and you're doing it right. So we need to know these things. Now, if you do know your calories, and say you're doing a meal, like a diet, that's exclusively protein and carbs, and you're trying to cut out all fats, it's not really a good idea. What's going to end up happening is if somebody has too low of fats, even if their carbs and protein and overall, like, I mean, even if their calories and protein are correct, but they have too high of carbs and too low of fats, they're going to feel watery, very lot of water retention around their waist. They're going to feel kind of like puffy and fat around their belly. They're going to have huge energy swings, huge mood swings and energy swings throughout the day, and they're going to have really poor, piss poor recovery between workouts. So a diet too high in carbs will feel like that. You'll feel watery, you'll feel huge energy swings throughout the day, and you'll have poor recovery between workouts. So if you're feeling that, you need to find out your data. You need to find out how many calories you should have, how much protein you should have, and then find the right amount of carbohydrates. A diet too high in fats It's going to depend on the person. Some people actually operate really well off high-fat diets. Some people do not. The people who do not, they're going to feel really low energy. Super flat kind of energy curve throughout the day. Never really feel awake. Never feel energized. They're also just going to look flat. They're going to feel dehydrated. It's just not going to go well. Their whole system is going to feel bogged down, not running well. The digestion is going to be garbage. Their joints feel clicky. And they just don't feel good all day. That's a diet too high in fats. What about a diet too high in protein? I actually tried this so I could personally know what the effects were. I did a diet one time for 10 months, which was unnecessarily too long. I just wanted to see if I could do it, basically. I did a diet for 10 months that was 40% protein. That is stupid. That is way too much protein for an overall calorie count percentage. But I want to see if I can do it. I want to see what the benefits of more protein is. So that theory of like, if some is better, more is better. I wanted to find out, well, when is more not better? When is more crappy and a horrible idea? Well, I found it. And I had horrible low energy. I was not as lean as I should have been. As soon as I actually took the percentage of my proteins down and replaced with carbohydrates, I actually got leaner. And I was extremely dehydrated all day, all the time, and it led to a lot of muscle cramping, muscle tightness, just kind of horrible, just low, crappy energy all day. So, the question of how much each macronutrient is too much, how much fat is too much, how much carbs is too much, how much protein is too much, got to listen to the podcast. You got to find your numbers. There is no one-size-fits-all answer to that. I cannot answer that for you. But I have given you a way to get the answer for yourself. Podcast 153 for calories, podcast 33 for protein. That is how you will know. So to the listener, thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for giving the previous recommendations in the past podcast a try. I'm glad it helped. I'm glad you felt like you had great energy. I'm glad it kind of worked out. Now, how do you know it's going to work out continually here? How do you know if you got it right versus a fluke? We do got to do the extra steps of knowing our calories and our protein, skew the bell curves to match the activity levels, and then boom, you're good to go. You just kind of monitor it from week to week, how you feel. Is your strength progressing? Is your muscle mass progressing? Is your fat loss progressing? You measure those things. If everything's going on track, awesome. You ride that and you just stick with it. However, if you feel like, oh man, I'm not losing much fat as I should, you might need to bring your calories down 5 or 10%. If you're getting strong, I mean, if you're losing fat, but you're not getting strong and you're not gaining muscle, then you might need to increase your calories 5 to 10%. You just need to play with the overall calorie intake. The protein demand shouldn't change that frequently, maybe every 3 to 6 months, because we don't build a lot of protein. I mean, we don't build a lot of muscle mass. Too often. So it's a slow rate of growth, basically. So that's some things to consider, some things to look at. I hope this helped. I hope it kind of answered the question. It might be still broad-based. So for you to get more specific, you literally need to go into podcast 153 and take the steps of that podcast, where you do a 3-day tracking system through MyFitnessPal. You find out what your caloric average is, and then you start modifying it based on the percentage suggestions that we give within that podcast. We have the protein suggestions in podcast 33, so you need to get in there, get those numbers. Take those numbers, skew your bell curves, give them a try. If that person or anyone wants help with this process in finding out what's the exact right amount of calories, protein, carbs, fats for you to eat per meal at per time of the day, email us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com, or check out our website, which is www.brutalirongym.com. This is what we do. This is what I do for a living. This is how I make my living. This is how we've been in business for 10 years. So this is what I love to do. I'm excited to do it. I'm happy to do it. I don't ever want this podcast ever seem like I'm trying to sell services. I try as much as I can to give away free information and give empowering information where the listeners can use this information for themselves. I try my best. But is there stuff that I'm going to know in 20 years of doing this profession that I can't get across in a 20-minute podcast? Hell yes. So, you know, a mechanic can explain to me how to fix my car. But as I try to do it myself, it does feel still complicated, feels challenging. I might run into some, you know, different things than as expected as I went. So it does make sense to have a guide as we go through a process. So if as I go through fixing my car, if I had a mechanic there watching me and helping me along the way, it would go a lot better, right? So that's all I ever want to present myself as, is if you want a guide, I'm here and I'm happy to help. But you don't need a guide. You can do this on your own. It might be helpful to learn from the guide, whatever. The whole point is that I just hope that these podcasts are super helpful. I hope you can take charge of your life and find happiness in your health. So that way in your physical health. So it positively impacts your mental, emotional health, spiritual health, relationship health. I just really want everybody to have the best life that they can have for them. And I'm blessed and grateful that I have an opportunity to influence that in some way. And I hope that I'm doing that well. So if you need anything at all, please, please, please always reach out to us. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and I appreciate your support. If you think the podcast is helpful in any way, please share it. The more people we share it with, the better. It just helps the business grow so I can keep doing this for longer. It helps more people reach their best lives. There's just all around blessings and help into everyone's life. So please share the podcast if you can, if you don't mind. Also, you can find more information from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, if you ever want to submit questions for these Q&A podcasts, we're always here and we're always happy to help. We're always happy to listen as well. So just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.